gentlemen, welcome to Pop Culture Problems. I'm John Oderman. This is my co-host, Josh Nichols. And today we are going to be talking about how we can make each other look better in pictures through computer-generated imaging.
Is this an ad for Photoshop?
It is.
Yeah, okay. And ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening to the Photoshop Hour.
This is why our photos on popcultureproblems.com make us look like we're 200 pounds.
Yeah,
instead of the bulbous Jabba the Hutt lookalikes that we actually are.
Oh, see, I thought that was the 200-pound thing that you were talking about. So you're saying 200 pounds would be better. Like we were both
then looking like Jabba the Hutt, like we do in real life? Yeah.
See, I kind of made ourselves look a little bit more bulbous in the photos so that we were more relatable.
Oh, okay,
sometimes
gotcha.
People look at supermodels and they're like, oh, I'll never be like
that. I just can't get to her
now
level,
they can
yeah.
be like, you know, I listen to that Pop Culture Problems all the time. I just want to feel good about myself. I want to feel better about myself. So
it's an interesting strategy. Let's see how it works out, Cotton.
The John. Today we're talking about CGI. What say you, clone?
What say I, clown? I'm a fan. I think it's I'm a fan at times when it's done well. You better have the money and the budget in place to be able to do it well, because poorly done CGI can just totally take you out of a scene or a movie or whatever you're doing.
That was such a wishy-washy,
such a non-committal
answer.
Yes.
Yeah, it was like, how do you feel about murder? You know, I think it's terrible, but I love it. It's like, okay, yeah, it's like CGI. You know, I think it's good, except I hate everything about it. You know, it's very kind of.
What about you,
Josh?
I know that you kind of live in a situation where CGI is not looked upon positively.
No, I live with.
You're kind of a prisoner.
Wow, I live with a I think that's offensive to prisoners. I think they're thinking, do they know what it's like? You know. No, I live with a person who despises all forms of CGI. I can't wait till holograms exist, and I can be CGI just to spite her. I just want to show up at home and her be like, "Hey, Josh, how's it going?" I'll be like, "Ha ha, I'm CGI. You thought I was real, yeah." And then I'll dissipate into thin air.
Yes,
and then she'll leave me. But anyway, so I think CGI is just fine. I don't care about CGI. I like CGI to be good. I find the worst CGI is TV CGI.
Oh,
because
there's
not the budget things.
Yeah.
Well, there was some CGI elements of like The Walking Dead. Like, I think there was a part where there was like a deer. Like, that deer was like taken off a marketplace, the same marketplace they made like PUBG out of. They're like, hey, let's just take this 3D model and pop it in there. We'll just kind of move it around a bit.
And they could have just gotten like a trained deer, probably for less, and it would have looked way better.
Well, or just at some point, I do a lot of live theater stuff. I direct a lot of plays and things of that nature. There's certain things you can do in live theater and certain things that you cannot. Sometimes you need to change the story to do something that you can do legitimately instead of having something be junk. I remember watching the show Lost, and I hated Lost in many ways because reasons I won't even go into. But I did watch quite a few seasons, and my hatred grew. But there was a CGI polar bear in one of the seasons, and it was like the worst CGI thing I had seen in a long time. And that was a big budget show. At the time, it had not taken off to that extreme.
Yeah.
But I mean, why not just not have the polar bear? Why not put the polar bear further in the distance? Why not have it be anything else that you could animate better?
Well, I feel like you could probably build a pretty decent
a man in a polar bear suit would have been better than a
polar bear.
and just put it on a wheelie.
Yes.
System. You're just like pulling him on a rope. Roar. And he like comes lunging towards the camera.
Well, I'm a big believer in like practical effects are always preferred. Unless it's something you can't... No, unless it's something
it's
you can't do.
No, it's still not.
No.
There was a movie. I can't remember what it was. I think it was a Will Ferrell movie where he, like, boxes a bear. I think he, like, fights a bear. He's in, like, a boxing ring with a bear.
Oh, yeah. Semi-pro.
Semi-pro.
Yeah.
There's another bear fight scene that I recall. It's John Candy's first cameo in a movie, and he was uncredited, and one of Arnold's first American movies, Hercules in New York.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And he fights a bear in Central Park, like fist box a bear. Is a man in a bear suit doing the old, like, I don't know what you even call that style of boxing, that 1920s kind of like, I'll get you, pal. And you put your fists in front of your face and you kind of rotate them forward and backwards.
Yep.
That is how the bear is fighting him in the park. Yet, with a little bit of CGI effects, putting Will Ferrell in the thing. But you can train a bear.
I've seen both videos
of people wrestling bears safely and also bear attack videos. Yep. It is possible. Whether you do it safely or not, you could have done that without having a guy in a bear suit. So there are times that it's better to change the story if you cannot do it correctly. Because your whole movie looks like junk because of the one choice you made.
Well, yeah. I think a great example of that is the first couple minutes of a movie that came out here in the last year with a mustache.
Oh. I don't get into the superhero movies very much. I don't do a whole lot of that. So you can talk more about it. But the Superman mustache scandal?
Yeah, so they had to do reshoots on the new Justice League movie. Joss Whedon was hired when Zack Snyder's daughter passed away, and he came into...
Might as well be talking about sports. All these names are like, Sweden, Meyer, Jonathan, Fizzle Dizzle. I'm like, what?
Wow. Oh,
jeez. All these names I have no
clue. So Joss Whedon came in, and he did some reshoots, and by that time, Henry Cavill, who plays Superman, had moved on to a role where I think it's a new Mission Impossible movie, where he has a mustache. Well, he couldn't shave the mustache for the reshoots of Superman because he needed the mustache for his character in Mission Impossible. And it is abundantly clear when Superman shows up that something's wrong.
Yeah. Something's just not right.
And the funny thing, I think we were talking about this before we started recording, about how, they spent hours and hours of time trying to CGI erase his mustache so they could keep his face and everything like that in the scene. But here recently, they had some artificial intelligence that did some computer-generated imaging of Henry Cavill that did a better job of the people that actually did it on the movie.
Absolutely.
You were telling me about this. I guess I didn't see the story.
So this gets us into a whole different realm of stuff. But deepfakes are a new form of pornography that takes a celebrity's face and puts it on another person's body.
Yeah.
Now, that isn't something that is new. That has happened before. But before, these fake-type videos or photos were so terribly done, photoshopping or video editing, that it wasn't... It was clear that this was not the person.
Well, and they've done it with other videos, too, where it's like they just put somebody's head on, like, a body from a scene from a TV show or something like that.
Yeah, see what another actor would look like in that kind of role.
Yeah.
But I think this is just getting into a little bit of a weird, controversial area here as far as morality and stuff. So I think we need to look at this with pornography removed for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but then also then put it back in and see what we think about it then. Public figures.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you are a public figure, your photographs are public in a certain way. If you're in a public event and things like that, those things are there. I can't use your likeness. I can't say John Oderman is a celebrity. I'm going to put his face on a billboard selling my new cologne.
Yep.
Okay, I can't do that. But your face is public enough that the image that I get of you on the street, I could just maybe use how I would like in some ways.
Well, could you just say, my computer just generated that image. That's not actually your face.
I mean, technically, it kind of did generate because it wasn't.
Do you have the plausible deniability to be able to? Because the technology has advanced to such a degree that there are times where, like, photos and stuff that you can't tell that it's CGI. It actually looks like a real person.
Well, I mean, I'm thinking of a general copyright sense. If you see, you'll go Vegas, New York, Chicago, things like that, and you'll see these street artists that are doing these great chalk or paintings of celebrities
mm-hmm.
in like a caricature format.
Yeah.
are those okay? Are those illegal? Because those are art. I mean, those are really yeah. cool. So just because they're very exaggerated, does that mean that you can't use it in that way? So if I took a scene from a movie, the problem is if I take a scene from a movie that is copyrighted, that's a problem. But let's say I made a whole movie of Josh, and I decide, I know, I'm going to put Christopher Walken's head on baby Josh, and I'm going to take this publicly released photo of Christopher Walken that I took on a public street, and I'm just going to put him on little boy Josh's body. Technically, you'd think that would be legal.
I think that would be legal, but it's. I think the scary like area here is like where you get into the realm of taking advantage of or impersonating someone with that technology in such a way that you would mislead or I mean we've already got issues with like fake news and things like that, but if all of a sudden you had like a CGI Barack Obama. openly calling for revolution against the United States of America and to overthrow Donald Trump, and it looked like Barack Obama to a T, it talked like Barack Obama, and
if it looks like a duck and it talks like a duck.
But like you were getting into this really scary kind of gray area where what is real and what isn't real.
Yeah, but see, I kind of look at it, and I'm a little devil's advocate here. I don't think I believe this totally. But we did an episode about cryptozoology and Bigfoot and conspiracy theories. And when we talked about that, one of my points was, if you would have shown me 50 years ago a photograph of an alien, like a gray, humanoid alien, I might have believed you.
Yep.
If you brought me an alien that I could autopsy myself today, I probably wouldn't believe you. Because of all the manipulation, all the effects we can do, all of the computer generation, everything we do, I would not believe you. Now, I think we're in this mode where if you see a video or you hear audio, you are still in the mode of believing it, kind of, because we're not to the point where we can hide it that well. If we get to the point where it's indistinguishable and anybody could be put in any video, doesn't that kind of put our trust meter off where we're like, okay... video's real unless we've recorded it ourselves. You know what I mean?
That's what I mean. You'd get to the point where you couldn't trust anything.
But isn't that good?
No.
Instead of blindly believing things?
Well, you're not blindly believing things, though. Like, if you can't tell the difference between what's real and fake, what can you believe?
I'm just going to hum in the microphone. Well, I see what you're saying. Again, I'm kind of playing devil's advocate here.
I mean, you'd only be able to believe what you were in the room to see.
Yeah, so why not? Isn't that better? Because right now, I think we
talk
about...
No, because you can't be in every room, John.
Yeah, I know, John, but here's the thing. Where are you at today? In this society, and where we live right now, do you really think you're getting the most truthful or accurate story, no matter who you listen to?
No, absolutely not, but like I don't want someone to manipulate this in such a way that like all of a sudden... somebody uses some CGI to develop some kind of news story of the second coming of Christ, and you have a bunch of people that go to like, go nuts because it's the end of the world.
We already have that. They're called cults.
Well, sure, but
what I'm saying is like, I think that we as a society now, we see stuff that is inaccurate. We see videos that have been chopped or clipped. And we are taken out of context, and we're like, "Yeah, that's true." And I mean, a lot of this, you talk about news stations or politics or viewpoints on sensitive topics. They're on both sides. They're inaccurate sides.
Yeah, yeah.
But like people, whatever they have a confirmation bias to believe, whatever they lean towards, that's the one that they believe, and the other one must be fake or wrong. So I'm almost thinking we need a little bit more distrust in our media so that we're not so easily swayed into believing it.
But if... Oh, geez, though. I mean, that's really... that's, like, terrifying to me.
It is.
Because, like, you get to the point where if you can't believe anything...
Then you believe nothing or everything or something?
Well, there'd be people that believe everything, but I think that... The more worrisome thing is that you wouldn't be able to trust anything. And when trust goes away, like, how do you trust the person
John,
that lives
I don't
next
trust
to
anything. I've got a prison shank on me right now in case you lunge over that
table.
That
is a sad state.
I'm just kidding, John.
Because I've got a gun in my waistband, and you think you're going to be able to stand up to me with a shank.
Yeah, I'm not going to shank you.
Okay.
As long as you don't come at me.
All right.
I mean, just don't make any sudden movements. Don't reach over to get a glass of water. All don't, right. You know, because you're going down. You know, I'm just, I'm being a little satirical with that. But I do believe that a little more distrust would go a long way in our society.
Well, yeah, sure.
I think we shouldn't be as gullible. That was my point. I would agree with that. That was an extreme version of the point.
And I did not expect us to go where we're at here, but
CGI.
It is really fascinating how far the technology has come in terms of CGI. And I mean, you started with like the practical effects of like Jurassic Park in the mid-90s of like the giant dinosaur that looked like a real dinosaur because they did such a good job. And now they can do all that stuff with technology.
Yeah. Yeah, Jeff.
And they can make it look like it's standing right in front of your face. And you talked about holograms earlier. I mean, we get to the point where we have like holographic projectors in our homes.
Oh yeah,
you could scare the ever living crap out of people.
Yeah, I do that now. Well, they used to do those old effects with like mirrors and smoke, yeah, and projectors and stuff. My argument all the time with Sarah is she hates CGI so bad, and I always tell her that. It's not perfect. No. Yeah, CGI is not perfect. But you have to start somewhere to get somewhere.
Yeah.
And so every small advancement they make, and I know that the whole deepfake thing kind of scares us, but it's an incredible achievement technologically. It's scary because of how it can be used.
Yeah.
Just like everything. Credit cards were a marvel of civilization, but they're scary because of how people misuse them. But when you look at old movies, Ray Harryhausen's claymation projects and like Clash of the Titans and stuff like that, that was really cool. Did it look good? No. Was it awesome? Yes. Yeah. It was nostalgic. Yeah. But we look at it now and kind of think, well, what? It's like Play-Doh. Like, what's cool about that? But it took that to get to the next step. I did a course on The Wizard of Oz, and the costumes on some of those, it's like the winged monkeys are in like felt footy pajama material. Mm-hmm. Like you can see the sewing marks and it's like so terrible looking.
Well,
but look at where costumes have gone now.
And Josh, that's an interesting, this is kind of a sidebar, but I mean, you look back at artwork and painting from like, I mean, some of the greatest painters of all time.
Yeah.
Who dedicated their life to their craft and things like that. You look at their art now compared to some of the art that we have and what people are able to do on like their computers, like the realism that's involved in like in what people are able to do now just with like their hands the statues you buy for like different video games or even action figures, like what they're able to do with the levels of realism with them is nothing short of like I think amazing. And is that because technology is allowing us to do that, or is it because we've honed our artisanal crafts over centuries and millennia, what is that? I mean, and once we get to a certain point, do we just implode?
Gone. I think you make a good point, and I think I can maybe give an example that illustrates that to a different extent of this battle that we have between the practical and the manipulated or the faux, you know, somehow enhanced version. When you look at music, a lot of musicians are very talented. They're great singers. They're great piano players. They're great, you know, musical instrument players, and they have great voices, and they've done a niche market of singing or performing in a certain way. And then you have people that can barely sing. They run their voice through a box that auto-tunes them, and they come out with the next hit.
Yeah.
And for me, I love these artists who are just so talented in their nature. But I also like some of this new music that comes out because it kind of sounds poppy, and it's got some good tunes to it.
Yeah.
And so for me, I look at that new stuff, and I'm like, I don't think any less of it. It's a different style.
See,
but some people look down on it because it's not accurate. It's not the way it should be.
But to me, this goes back to kind of similar to what we were talking about on an earlier episode when we were talking about video games and gameplay versus graphics, because I really think like the songs that really kind of resonate with people.
Yeah.
It's you could have all that like that stuff that's just basically kind of like white noise, like the auto-tune stuff. Yeah, but if like a song is a good song, I think it resonates with people. And like America's Got Talent, there's this deaf girl that auditioned a couple weeks ago. You might have seen the video on Facebook, but she's unable to hear the music. She's got an amazing voice. She went deaf like when she was 18. She had some connective tissue issues in her ear, but she can't hear the music. So like, how is she gonna be able to sing? And it's through like the vibrations through the floor and stuff like that. And she wrote an original song, and that was what her audition piece was. And yeah, she has a beautiful voice, but the song, if you listen to the lyrics, are the best part. And I think, you know, even if it's on like a subconscious level, that's like what speaks to people.
Well, but
and maybe that's kind of what you're getting at with like on like the whole suspicious angle. Maybe we just like naturally know and like can sense and feel truth.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, no, I don't believe that at all. Yeah, because you
I was trying to get super deep there, but
I know what you're saying with this music thing. But if you believe in something wholeheartedly, like let's say that I believe that the moon is made of cheese, okay? And I believe that I love cheese. I want to take a bite out of that moon. I want to go to the moon and have a fondue for the rest of my life until I die, and then melt me in the fondue pot of the moon. Okay?
Okay.
That's just what I believe. If you came out
you've given a lot of thought of what your life would be like.
We have empirical evidence that the moon is actually made of rock, I would smite thee down. Okay? And I would take out that prison shank I so aptly talked about. And I would say, nay, John, nay. But if somebody says, oh, we think the moon is made out of cheese, I'd be like, yes, they are accurate. They are scientists of our age. They are gods among men. And you gravitate towards what you want to believe. And so if somebody says something bad about the thing that you like or the thing that you want, you're not going to be happy with them. But kind of my point, going back to your point a little bit, I kind of talked about the music and how we look down lesser on people who don't necessarily do it naturally. Similar to what you said about these fantastic artists who do things digitally. They go in Photoshop and they have different digital brushes and they kind of layer things and they just play with the contrast. They produce a piece of artwork. Some artists would look down on that and say, what is that? What is that forgery? Because you didn't use real paint and you didn't layer it in such a way. And you didn't use the correct brush strokes because you just didn't have the correct paint. It's all digital.
You didn't have the correct level of pain that you were able to convey through the brush strokes.
I think it's a sad thing when we diminish someone else's creative work because it wasn't done on the medium that you enjoyed. It's a different piece of artwork. I can like both of those artists individually. I could like one of them more than the other. I could dislike one of them. And that's okay. Just let people exist. You be you. Let people exist.
Except when they don't exist and they're CGI.
And then that's just the worst of it all. Yeah, because they're not really there. What do you think about what do you think about voice manipulation? Yeah, well, because like I'm thinking South
that
Park.
That goes hand in hand with like the CGI video manipulation stuff is like if you can. And the technology is there to be able to do this. Like, they can record my voice for a certain amount of time, and then they're able to actually recreate my inflection, my tones, everything, and make a recording that sounds exactly like me, and it's not really, really me.
God help us.
So, like, Josh, just remember that next time you're talking to me on the phone.
Okay. I will remember.
Maybe this is one of the good maybe that's one of the good things about people not communicating via telephone anymore. They just text and stuff like that.
Well, maybe they get your texting patterns and they show them the way you have emojis and smiley faces. And they're like, oh. I think there actually are programs that analyze just your style, like how you look at emojis and like how often you use certain things.
Probably to me, that is terrifying.
But that happens. That happens everywhere, John.
Isn't that what makes you, you? So, like, let's say you're sitting and you get a FaceTime call, and it's John Oderman, but I'm at work busy, and John Oderman's having a conversation with you, and it's not really John Oderman.
But here's the thing. This is no different. This is old man
your love,
John talking.
Your love for me would see through that ruse.
This is old man John talking. Okay? I've talked about this before. My mom was totally adverse to getting a credit card. I do not want a credit card. It's dangerous. She had no problem going to a garage sale and giving someone her check with her name, phone number, address, and routing number, account number, everything. Just had no, and her fingerprints. Technically, I'm sure they could have dusted it for them. I mean, she gave them every bit of her life except mother's maiden name and her birth date, which if they asked her for it, she would have wrote it down and been like, okay, but didn't want to do the credit card, which has protection, which gives you fraud alerts, everything. She would not do that. She kind of struggled with that advancement. You're having the same thing with this, you know,
hold on, though. I'm not, like, saying, like, FaceTime shouldn't exist and things like that.
No. But what you're saying is, oh, I'm getting scared with them there kids manipulating the videos and the audios and them making FaceTimes of me. Oh, they're showing everybody the FaceTimes of me. And boy, oh, boy. Like, no, like, that's everything has a Facebook and Amazon and all of these big companies. I mean, Target and they're all collecting your data.
Your data is absolutely
important, and they're collecting it and they're analyzing it. We talked about the girl who got advertisements from the big box store because she was pregnant, and she got
and
it
she
before
didn't know she
that
was pregnant.
She told her parents because of their algorithms. That stuff is scary, but you don't think
it's
about
the world
it
we live in
because it's not something that's at your forefront. But when you find out about it, you're like, oh, did you know this is happening? Yeah, it's been happening for a decade. You just didn't know about it. You didn't care. When it comes to the forefront, you start caring. And what I'm saying is I just think we should be in a world where if I am FaceTiming with John Oderman, that I have a reasonable sense of trust that it's you. And if it's not you, that's fine. But here's the thing.
Is it fine?
Here's the thing. I've known people that have been fraud, but been frauded. They have had
defrauded.
Don't tell me my language. Yeah, they've been defrauded because they had somebody call them impersonating a business and collected their information over the phone and stuff like that, and they got it. Yeah, perfect, great. There are instances, I just talked to somebody about a story of their credit card company called them for a fraud alert and asked them for account information and said, I'm sorry, please hang up and dial the credit card company. I'm new. I shouldn't have asked you for that. Things like that happen. It already exists.
But Josh, isn't this a situation though where Mr. Skeptical Nichols here, like, let's say I'm in trouble,
okay,
and I call you and I need help,
okay,
and you don't help me because
what do you give me a hypothetical, give me what you need help with, give me anything. No, tell me.
I'm stuck somewhere and I need you
to
wire me some
you?
cash.
I need you to wire me some. Hell no, I'm not gonna wire you cash. No. Hey, give me your PayPal account and I'll give some to you. You can make a withdrawal.
But I need cash. I don't have a credit card or anything available.
I'm sorry.
I am in Tijuana and I am in
bad shape. And you call me. Yeah, you call me and you're in Tijuana and you need cash.
Sure.
That's the scenario. So one, I should already know if you're in Tijuana or not because you're my friend.
Okay.
And so
all right.
If it happens that you go to Tijuana and someone scams me by stealing your identity, picking me out of the lineup of your friends and your phone, which I'm sure you have me named like Big Daddy or something like that. I'm sure it's a weird name.
If they happen
to pull me out and they call me and say, do you need cash? And if I am stupid enough to do it, because I'd probably be on Facebook saying, was he in Tijuana? Or did he say Tarzania? Or did he say Tasmania or something like that? Did he say something else? I'd probably just be checking online and double checking. And don't you think
I was visiting my Nigerian prince friend?
And what are you doing with this money? My question is, did you need a flight home? Is that what you needed? Fine, I'll buy you a flight home and correspond with the airport. I don't have to give you cash. I can pay via credit card online. Now, I'm just saying there are ways to get around it. And some of it takes trial and error. The people that were defrauded and had issues happen that I talked to you about will never let it happen again. They learned a valuable lesson. When emails first came out with virus attachments, everybody was clicking on those things. I got an image from Uncle Sally. I don't have an Uncle Sally.
Uncle Sally.
I know. And they're just like, that didn't raise a red flag at all. They just opened the virus. I bet they're never opening an attachment again without double checking and thinking about it.
That's
learning
reasonable, Josh.
I'm just saying it's...
You're fired
I'm
up.
Never going to give you money ever in cash if you're in Tijuana. What the hell are you doing in Tijuana?
I don't know.
I'm not going to contribute to your drug lord
maybe I'm just
shenanigans.
Wow. Yeah.
I don't know what you're doing there. And you should have gotten permission from me first to go to Tijuana.
Well, I'll make sure that I have my computer generated self send you that message.
John, I just want to say thank you for indulging the conversations. Everything from deep facing to Tijuana drug lords to fraud in the highest. All on an episode about CGI.
Yeah.
Computer generated imagery. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening to Pop Culture Problems. We'll see you next time.